Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. The other headline, we didn't get to this headline, but the Big 12 had a conference call yesterday where they wanted to discuss the situation with Oklahoma and Texas wanting to leave to go to the SEC. They invited athletic directors and the CEOs, the presidents of the schools for all 10 Big 12 schools. 8 showed up. I'll let you guess which 2 weren't on the call. UT and OU decided, no, we're good. We don't need to be on this call. So you had the other 8 schools on there, Seth. And I said this earlier. I'll say it again. If I had an agenda for that call, the agenda goes like this. 1, how do we cordially get UT and Oklahoma to stay in the Big 12? 2, if we can't do it cordially, you know, we can't do it the easy way, we do it the hard way. You know, what legal recourse do we have to keep them in the Big 12 for as long as we can? And by the way, the legal recourse is, I believe I saw the number on ESPN this morning, was $75 million that each of the 2 schools would have to pay in order to get out of their contract, in order to get out of the Big 12 right now, because there's so much time left on the media rights deals. There's still 4 years left. 3rd would be, okay, these guys are going to leave someday. What do we do then? What's the strategy? What is the strategy for the 8 of us that are left behind here in the whole?
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. You have to be pragmatic at some point. And how long do you fight to, you know, keep a marriage together when one spouse really wants out?
Yeah.
Now, this is a polyamorous situation where 2 spouses want out. It gets more complex.
Right.
I've watched Big Love. And it's but it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you going to you're going to force them to stick around and somehow pretend to be happy being in the Big 12? So at some point those 2 will leave maybe it's to a different conference, maybe they try to go independent, who knows. But yeah, what do you do? How do you pick up the pieces after those 2 teams are gone, cuz it really is they're the money makers.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are they draw the eyeballs. No matter what Texas actually does on the football field, everybody knows, everybody in the Big 12 knows how many eyeballs they bring to television sets and how much revenue they bring in.
My contention since this news broke a couple days ago, or yesterday, 2 days ago, I guess, has been that, well, UT and Oklahoma need the SEC a lot more than the SEC needs UT and Oklahoma. Someone sent in this text earlier and they said, hey, money talks. In 2019, 2 of the top 10 most watched games were OU Texas, number 8, and LSU Texas was number 6 on the list. They say, the texter says, now add Texas and Alabama, OU Alabama, LSU OU, the renewed rivalry between Texas and Texas A&M. The SEC doesn't need them, just like Jeff Bezos doesn't need an extra $20 billion added to his net worth, but I'll be damned if Bezos turned away the additional $20 billion. Yeah, so it's... The SEC doesn't need UT and OU on many fronts. They don't need them, but they would probably enrich the coffers of those SEC schools. So, 100%. I think you're right, Texter. Is that if it gets done, that's the reason why it gets done. Incremental revenue for those schools.
Yeah. So, and then what's the most likely scenario? Where Sean?
Yeah.
Look into your crystal ball and tell me where we are. 2 years from now.
2 years from now, boy, I tweeted the other day that I didn't think that the SEC was going to get the necessary votes to get UT and OU into the conference. And if you're saying, well, that's silly, you don't think half the conference or, you know, a majority want UT and OU? It's not a simple majority that they need. They need 11 of the 14 schools to say yes. Seth, I'm going to stick by this, and I may be in the minority here. I don't think they're going to find 11 votes that want OU and Texas in right now. Not at this point. I don't think they're going to find the 11 votes. I think A&M is a no. I think Missouri is a no. And I think between Arkansas LSU, maybe some of these other schools that you pointed out earlier, the Mississippi schools, all of a sudden are able to recruit better in Texas than they ever have. I think they're going to be able to find four schools that don't want to do this right now.
I think 100%, you know what it's going to be based on, at least partly, Sean, is that, look, there was, as it's been described, a gentleman's agreement when A&M joined the big the SEC, that the SEC would not add more than one team per state moving forward.
Right.
Yes, Alabama and Auburn are in the same state. Yes, Mississippi State and Mississippi are in the same state. But it's those are holdovers. Those are grandfathered in.
Yep.
Moving forward, the gentleman's agreement was that they wouldn't add anybody. So, I mean, just like looking down the screw, okay, I think the University of Florida is probably going to say, yeah, we need to maintain that precedent. So the University of Florida would vote against it because they don't want Florida State or South Florida or anybody else being added at some point. I think the University of, I don't know, is there another Division I school in Kentucky? I know Kentucky doesn't have to worry about it.
No.
Well, actually, yeah, Louisville, I suppose. So yeah. I think even Kentucky, like any team really, any of these other teams.
Yeah.
Have a reason to believe that, like, okay, well, I don't want to set a precedent where another team gets in, because they'll likely at some point add two more teams to make it a super conference of 16 at some point. And none of these teams that have exclusivity in their state want to set a precedent where you can poach your own fan base or recruiting base.
But if UT and Oklahoma get them to 16 teams, then you're done. Then theoretically you're not having to worry, because there's 14 teams in the SEC right now. So if Georgia and Florida and South Carolina all say, yeah, you know, that gentleman's agreement, that was made by other people. We want Texas in the conference. Well, Texas
right.
and OU get you to 16. You know, so those schools could be looking at it going, this is it. Like, we don't have to worry about that. We're not going beyond 16. Are you kidding me?
Sean, I realized that as I was scrolling down the schools of that's why I got stuck on Kentucky. I'm like, oh, crap, there are 14 teams in the SEC.
Yeah,
this damn – because I've been – all morning I've been – this is like time zone math where it should be simple. Mm-hmm. But I've been thinking about the 10 teams that are in the Big 12.
I know, dude. And the 14 that are in the Big 10.
Yeah. And you just start – you get lost. You get disoriented.
Yep.
So this would – okay. So there is a precedent argument. I suppose if there's any threat of them creating a really super-duper supernova of a conference of 20 at some point or 24, then perhaps they don't want to set the precedent. But I guess maybe it would still set a precedent, Sean, where if there's any more shuffling, if you eject a team or whatever, like those schools, and I think especially University of Florida, doesn't want to add any more schools from the state of Florida.
It sets a precedent of leaders of schools going back and reneging on deals that were made. And I get it.
Yeah,
it's a handshake deal. It was a handshake deal that was made by people who aren't in those positions anymore that aren't there.
But that's like our agreement with France during the revolution after, you know, when they needed our help, we're kind of like, well, I mean, that was with the king of France. And now it's a whole new ballgame.
I ain't respecting old arrangements. It just comes down to that. I'm not excited. There's a new regime.
That guy don't even have a head no more. What the hell are you talking about? Yeah. Hey, you go get the king's head and I'll talk to him.
Right. Now, just to be clear, nobody's been beheaded in this whole thing. But
Yet. This is SEC football.
It's true. We're going to have our first guillotine. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. 713-572-4610. I know a lot of you who are alums, fans of these schools, have thoughts on what you want out of this. We'd love to hear from Aggies, Longhorns. Do you want A&M? Do you Aggies want Texas in the conference? Do you want to start playing them on an annual basis? Or do you like being able to thumb your noses at them and saying, ha-ha, we're in a better conference? Up next, an interesting read on The Athletic. Which opponent's player would help the Texans most? If you could pluck one player off of a rival team, who would you pluck if you were a Texans fan? Right now, that's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good to be with you on a Friday. Payne and Pendergast here on Sports Radio 610. The Athletic had an interesting read earlier. I do this exercise on my national show once a year, Seth, and I do it a little differently than The Athletic did it. And the piece on The Athletic is they went to all the different beat writers for the 32 teams. Aaron Reese is our Athletic beat writer here in Houston, does a great job. And they had them each take one player off of a rival division, a divisional rival. If they could, you know, essentially, just if each team could pluck one player of their choice off of a division rival, who would it be? And for the Texans, I'll say this. For the league-wide in this exercise, there's not a lot of drama in some of these divisions. Like, everybody who isn't Buffalo in the AFC East all said Josh Allen. Everybody who wasn't Dallas in the NFC said Dak Prescott. So in divisions that are kind of top-heavy quarterback-wise, everybody was just plucking the other team's quarterback. You know, NFC North, everybody, Aaron Rodgers. So when I do this exercise on my national show, I ask listeners to call in and say, hey, whatever team it is you root for, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pluck one non-quarterback from another team around the NFL. It's just a different way to go about having people call in and tell me or give me their opinion on what their team's biggest needs are outside of quarterback, because everybody needs and has to have a good quarterback to compete. For the Texans, Aaron Reese, not surprisingly, picks a quarterback in the division. He says this: most teams would have loved the chance to draft Trevor Lawrence. That includes the Texans. Now that Deshaun Watson appears to have played his last snap for Houston, the Texans might have the opportunity to draft a QB number one overall next year, but the field of quarterback prospects doesn't include a can't-miss guy like Lawrence. Do you agree with Aaron Reese here, Seth, that if Nick Caserio were granted a wish by some football genie to pluck a player from another team in the division, it is indeed Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, I think so, especially as a new general manager where you want to have that guy to move forward with. And that's why I think the only player-for-player trade that I would have been cool with when Deshaun Watson was still a viable trade candidate or it wasn't put on pause was that if I guess I should have said if it were for only one pick.
Yeah.
And it would be the number one overall pick in this year's draft.
Yep.
This year and this year alone. And you would still, you know, theoretically you'd be giving up something because Deshaun Watson is a bird in the hand and you know how good he is versus Trevor Lawrence, who is still a projection. There's no such thing as guarantees. You know, Andrew Luck didn't end up being as good as a lot of people projected he would be. So, but you'd also be getting him on a rookie contract.
Yes.
I mean, that's the trade-off. Deshaun's got one of the most lucrative contracts in the NFL, whereas Trevor Lawrence is going to be on a rookie deal for at least the next 3 years. So I think that's what I would have taken. That would have made the most sense. If I were to go for another player anywhere in the NFL, Sean, I was torn on this because immediately I think, okay, I think Aaron Donald right now is probably the best non-quarterback.
Are you talking about for the Texans, specifically for the Texans?
Yeah, to actually, like, okay, if I could just take any player from the league and pluck him on here, a non-quarterback,
yep.
Who would it be? I think that Aaron Donald is the best football player in the NFL right now, and yet I also watched the Texans go, what was the record of the year that J.J., the year they went 2-14, J.J. Watt was healthy that year.
Yeah, he was fully
healthy. They had Aaron Donald, and J.J. Watt was at an Aaron Donald level back then.
Yep.
So how much genuine impact do you get from any defensive player these days?
Yep.
I'm almost thinking I would have to take, it's weird to say this, but like George Kittle or Travis Kelce at tight end, which they're not even generally considered all that valuable as position. Like the tight end position isn't one of the more valuable positions, but that might be what I take. Other than that, well, maybe Khalil Mack. Bobby Wagner, somebody like that.
If I'm
quarterbacks are so. But can I just make it a quarterback, Sean?
Well, no. Here's the thing, and I'm glad you started in on that exercise with the Texans. My takeaway in reading this article was it did make me think about the exercise that I talked about that I do on my national show, where I let fans of teams pick one non-quarterback from anywhere around the league for their team.
Yeah.
And I guess my takeaway with the Texans is that we're not all that far removed from looking at the Texans and going, okay, I can be very specific about what it is that I need a left tackle. I need a cornerback. Yeah. There are two or three very specific things that I need. Seth, there's not a single all-pro player, non-quarterback that you can name that doesn't maybe left tackle because of Laremy Tunsil, maybe. But I could pick a tackle and throw him over at right tackle, and that'd be just as good a plug-and-play as Laremy Tunsil would be. My point is this, that you can take almost anybody on the first team all-pro team and say, I need him there. Whereas before, like if you were taking a wide receiver, you're like, well, you already got Hopkins and Fuller. You're kind of strengthening a strength.
Yeah, but again, like even just Sean, as I go through this little exercise, I'll just look at like PFF's top 50 player ranking, and it's just it drives it home how much you're losing by losing Deshaun Watson potentially.
Yeah.
Because that, like I'm telling you, you could trade. These guys are like unequivocally the top 10 like non-quarterback players in the league. And yet it just pales in comparison. If somebody came up to you and said, hey, how about you trade Deshaun Watson for Aaron Donald? And there were no scandals involved or anything. I'm like, hell no.
No chance.
Like, what the hell are you talking about? Of course not. There's not a chance in hell. And look, you could spend three first-round draft picks on defensive linemen over the course of a couple years, and you're not going to get an Aaron Donald. Like, that's how valuable the quarterback is. That's why there is almost no price worth trading Deshaun Watson for before the allegations.
Yep.
Because you get four first-round picks. What are the chances you're going to get a Travis Kelce?
Yep.
It's still very unlikely.
What do you think of this text, Seth? Why do you think the Texans rebuild, or let me back up, why do you think the Texans rebuild will be ready for a quarterback next year? Davis Mills is a placeholder until the 2023 draft when they grab a QB. Now, Davis Mills may very well be a placeholder, wind up being a placeholder until the 2023 draft because they don't like any of these quarterbacks in 2022 enough to use a high pick on them. But I'm trying to wrap my brain. I think I know what the texter means. Like, hey, this team's still going to be so bad next year that you don't want to throw a young quarterback still into the mix. Is that how you read that?
Yeah. I think it's an issue that you get into when you start trying to play things out in your mind and you start thinking that any plan goes specifically the way it should. Like if your plan is that, okay, we're going to be bad for 2 years and then we're going to have a good quarterback to draft and then we'll be in just the right position to draft that quarterback and that's the way it'll all play out and then we'll have a better landing spot for him. It's like real life just doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know, that's why in baseball, it's as frustrating as it is sometimes. Like the whole idea of small ball, a lot of times is based on this perfect scenario you have in your brain where you're going to have a speed demon on first and then you'll lay a bunt down for him and then somebody will steal. And it all makes sense if eight things go right.
That's right.
Where in reality, and I'm using the baseball analogy here, in reality, your best shot is you just keep swinging. You just keep swinging. Oh, you're not. Just keep swinging. I don't care how many strikes, balls. I don't care where you are in the count, how many outs there are. Just keep swinging because ultimately that's how you're going to get your best shot. And that's what it is with quarterback. You can't time the market with quarterbacks. You can't say, well, now is not the right time to try to get a quarterback. 2 years from now is the right time. Because what happens 2 years from now? You know, you end up having a good season unexpectedly. The best quarterback prospect in the draft gets taken by somebody else who leapfrogs you, whatever it is. So you just got to keep taking swings. So maybe it's this year, maybe it's the next year. I don't know.
It's such a hard league to project out that far. You and I went through that exercise earlier this week with that 3-year projection that ESPN was doing, and we went back and looked at 2018. And well over half the stuff doesn't play out even close to what you think is going to play out.
And this is another thing, too, because I see people falling into this trap where they start thinking like, oh, well, look at this. You got this many quarterbacks at this round in the draft, so this is where you need to be looking for quarterbacks. Or like, oh, you got this type of position player by trade, so you got to be trading. There are opportunities all over the place, and you just got to take swings. I mean, look, I'll go through a list of the top quarterbacks. Pat Mahomes, not a top three pick.
Right.
Tom Brady, obviously sixth round pick.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, late first round pick.
Yep.
Russell Wilson, third round pick. Deshaun Watson, 11th overall pick. Josh Allen, where was he? Mid first round?
Seventh overall.
Yeah. Dak Prescott, fourth round
yep.
pick. Lamar Jackson, late first round pick. Matt Ryan, number one overall. Baker Mayfield, number one overall. Matt Stafford, number one overall. Ryan Tannehill. Like it just. You just have to keep swinging. You don't know where he's going to come from, but you can't try to engineer the perfect situation because you will most likely fail if you think you're going to be able to nail exactly how it goes down.
Absolutely. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday, 713-572-4610. The one Big 12 school who will undoubtedly survive a UT-OU exodus. We'll tell you who it is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Sports Radio 610. We've talked a lot the last day or so about Texas at OU wanting to leave the Big 12 and go to the SEC. We've not really dug into what the ramifications would be or the pecking order would be of the eight schools that would be left behind. What's the solution for them? Does the Big 12 stay intact and go find a couple new members? Does the league disband and they go their separate ways and you have some of the schools go to the AAC, some go to the Mountain West? Who knows? Maybe some of them are high profile enough to where they get picked up by the ACC or the Pac-12, whatever the case may be. But I definitely think, Seth, that there's a pecking order with these eight schools as to how attractive they would be to other conferences out there. If indeed the solution is we're going to disband, or maybe after OU and Texas leave, there are a few schools that, all it takes is two or three more schools to say we're out of here, and you're probably looking at the league falling apart at that point.
And Landry retweeted Kirk Bowles, who's a writer for the Austin American-Statesman.
Yep.
Who says that a prominent Big 12 source tells the American Statesman the Texas OU move to the SEC is almost done.
Mm.
they've been working on this, quote, they've been working on this for a minimum of 6 months, and the A&M leadership was left out of discussions
wow.
and wasn't told about it, unquote. Move could become official in a week.
Wow.
How you A&M like- was left out of the discussions. Whoa. Whoa. You talk about, oh, whoa. Oh, my gosh. Dude. This is some that's some reality show stuff, man.
Okay.
They were plotting without A&M in the room, okay. just making decisions. Oh, my God. Going back on their gentleman's agreement.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Dude, not just going back on their gentleman's agreement, but, like, basically, like, finding out. I mean, this isn't like. This isn't like.
Too brute stuff.
This
Whoa.
Is. Yeah. I mean, and this. What would be great is if A&M found out on Twitter like the rest of us. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That would be the best. That would be awesome. Okay, so how do Aggies feel about that? Like, the Aggies have walked around for 10 years now, nearly 10 years, pumping their chest out that they're in the SEC. Hey, we're in the SEC, looking down on the Big 12. And I get it. It's a great conference, and your football program is moving in the right direction. No question about that. But, man, if you do you just sit back and take it, Aggies? Like, are you, like, still just totally cool with the SEC when they're treating you like this? That's incredible.
Does A&M defect and go back to the Big 12?
Wow.
And it is just a gentleman's agreement is worth the paper it's printed on.
Yeah.
Which it's not printed on any paper at all.
Definition. These are the unwritten rules. So I got an email from a friend of mine yesterday who has good contacts with people that cover the University of Texas. And this person sent him an email where it was this insider's opinion on what happens with the rest of the Big 12 if and when OU and the University of Texas leave. And it was a fascinating email because it put it in a way that's very consumable for me, Seth. I like when things are put into tiers or categories. Makes it very easy to consume. The one school that is going to be okay in all this, of the eight that are left behind, according to this UT insider, was Kansas, of all schools. And you would think to yourself, really? This is about football, and Kansas is one of the worst Power 5 programs in history. They're a bad football program, and they're in shambles right now, thanks to Les Miles. This is what he had to say. Kansas just would shrug their shoulders about this because the Jayhawks are one of the three premier basketball schools in college hoops. It's not that they're good at basketball. It's that basketball prints them money and earns them a national following. Now, they historically are good at basketball. They weren't a great Kansas team this past year, but they're a little like Texas in that respect. They're sort of like the Texas of college basketball. Even when Kansas is down, they're still Kansas. Just to finish up what he says, they're the number one state school with a good number of living alumni. This is the key understanding. Blue bloods with big hoops revenue and a passionate fan base. They're not worried. The Big Ten beckons. The Big Ten beckons Kansas. This isn't hard. So this person is saying they'd become the next team in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and that is their brand. Like, I don't know if Kansas alums. We should ask. We should ask our boss, Sarah Frazier, who's a
noted Kansas alum. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't. I mean, she'll take a joke really well about Kansas football because she's got Kansas basketball to talk about. Yeah.
That's right. Do you agree with this, that they land on there? This 100% makes sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know how much Kansas cares about football.
Right.
You know, so I'd say, yeah, that 100% makes sense. They'll be just fine as long as their basketball team is around.
The next category is, it's titled, "This is our concern, dude." As if to say, hey, you know, they're lukewarm on this thing here. But there's four schools, there's four schools in this category. Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Iowa State, and Texas Tech. And the summary is, no conference needs any of these schools, exactly none of them. None are awful, but they aren't compelling. Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Iowa State, and Texas Tech. And I tend to agree with that. I think of all those schools, the one that's sweating this the most right now is probably Oklahoma State, just because of the attachment to, well, I say sweating it, they're the ones that are probably feeling a little bit like A&M might feel this morning with that news that you just talked about, that the SEC is ready to go back on their gentleman's agreement. It's almost like the last round of realignment, Oklahoma State and Oklahoma had a gentleman's agreement that, hey, wherever you go, we're going with you.
Yeah.
Right? And now, yeah. Not the case anymore.
It loses the feel of a Power 5 conference.
Right.
It's the best way I can put it. In this modern age, it feels like a non-Power 5 conference when you start reeling off those names.
Yep. So Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Iowa State, Texas Tech. The last category is these are the schools that would be in sheer terror. Kansas State, TCU, and Baylor. Here's why. Kansas State, this person says, is a weaker, less appealing version of the state schools above. The state schools we just rattled off in the previous category. This isn't about occasional plucky athletic overachievement. No one cares.
Well, they could go to a conference where they actually have a chance of winning with that plucky overachievement.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, "Wow, what a nice story! Yeah, look, they gave it the old college try." It's like, "Oh, okay, you might actually win." Something like the MAC or somebody like that.
They've almost won the Big 12 a few times.
Yeah, that's what. But it's they could be perennial winners in the MAC.
Sure. Here's what they say about Baylor and TCU, and this is the one, I'll read these because we got a lot of Baylor and TCU alums that listen. Two of them, I paid for them to go to those schools. Now is not the time, this is about Baylor, now is not the time to be a religious-affiliated private school with tertiary market imprint, few living alumni, and no television sets. Baylor has solid facilities, some winning sports, no one cares, and aspects of their culture are toxic to academic elites. So, and he says, this person says, quote, "But Baylor won the national title in hoops," is the retort. Cool. Who did they beat to do it? Gonzaga. What conference are the Zags in? Right. Let's move along. So that's the summary on Baylor. And here's a quick summary on TCU. TCU has good football. Actually, not really anymore. And who cares? They have 43 alumni and can't even bring DFW television sets. Did you just mention college baseball? Well, that's adorable. So, those are the summaries on Baylor and TCU. So according to this person who is a UT insider, the one school that is going to be above the fray in all this that's left behind, that's going to be fine, is Kansas. By the way, we got a text from Ron the Show Hughley, also, I believe, a Kansas alum. And he's listening and he texted. He said, we'll be fine at Kansas. So Kansas will be just fine because of the basketball program. Kansas State, TCU, and Baylor are the schools that should be the most terrified in all
this.
Yeah,
and I don't know, if anybody out there is getting angry at us for talking, maybe you feel like it's being dismissive of some of these programs. I think honestly, your own alumni are having those same discussions. Yeah. If you think about it realistically, that's like, you know the deal. You know who the brand name schools are, and you know where. There needs to be some strength in numbers, and you're severely weakened by the loss of the two brand names of Oklahoma football and Texas football.
Right.
That's you're weakened, and you know that you're vulnerable because of it. I don't know what the solution would be. If to maintain relevance, short of maybe a couple of these programs in the vacuum becoming nationally prominent. Toot sweet. Like, sometime in the next 2 years, can Texas Tech just really blow it up and be a national championship contender or something like that? Maybe that's the solution. But even then, I don't know if you're not bringing the television money to the table necessarily.
There's nothing you can do at some of these schools on the field that's going to make up for you not having the history that comes with a school like Texas or Oklahoma. Now, Mike Leach, former Texas Tech coach, former Washington State coach, current coach at Mississippi State. Seth, he had a solution that might work for some of these schools. If we use Mike Leach's playoff solution, then it may not matter what conference you play in.
It's never enough, but I'll tell you what, Dr. Keenum, our president, is on that committee, so I know they're in good hands. And so I think that part's outstanding. I think 12 teams is a huge step in the right direction. I personally would like to see 64, and you can format it out pretty easily, but I think it's a huge step the right direction, and I look forward to it.
All right, so he's talking about the college football playoff there, obviously, that when he refers to the 12 teams, that's the direction that the sport is looking to go, which, I think 12 teams does cushion the blow a little bit for some of these schools. If OU and Texas were to leave, that at least you still can sell to recruits. The same way the group of five conferences, like the one that, like the AAC that U of H is in, the same way that they can now sell access at least to the playoffs to their recruits. I do think an expanded playoff helps cushion the blow a little bit, at least, if the Big 12 starts to crumble. But certainly 64 teams would be quite the solution. I love Mike Leach. I love him so much.
I would. Do you think he's serious?
I can't tell. I was going to ask you the same thing. He said it with a straight face and with nary a hint of laughter, but I don't know that I've ever seen Mike Leach laugh at anything before.
64 teams would be an interesting one, because then all of a sudden, I mean, the disparity in total number of games played between colleges becomes really big. And then you almost, when it comes to big money schools, because what you think is, okay, well, then smaller schools at least have a fighting chance to play on a national stage, maybe be an upset or a contender or what have you. But in a lot of respects, it's going to be a bigger money game and probably a bigger money payoff for those big schools more often. I would imagine, I mean, the ratings are going to be through the roof for college football playoff games. Usually, this last year was a little bit of an anomaly. I don't know. It's a lot of games. So one thing that Dabo Swinney had talked about this last week was, if they add more playoff games, they gotta take away one of the regular season games or figure out a way to limit regular season games. Because he said guys are already, you know, just worn down, and it's getting kind of brutal for teams that have to play those just one extra game at the end of the year. I appreciate that. With 64 teams, you'd have to whittle down the regular season to six or seven, or you'd have to do it like some high school conferences do, where maybe you play six regular season games, but if you don't make the playoffs, then you got two or three or four more meaningless games. I don't know.
Yeah, first of all, it's 64 ain't happening in our lifetime. Maybe it happens someday, but it ain't happening in our lifetime. You're right. It's fun to play fantasy booker in this thing, but
I think it's more likely that you could end up with some kind of super conference or super league of 32 teams that have their own national championship. Like right now there's an FBS and FCS. Is it still FBS and SCS?
It is.
Split used to be 1A and 1AA.
Yeah.
That maybe it gets even more stratified now, and where you have like three different Division I segments.
I think that's a 100% possible, Seth, because even FBS is stratified with the Power Five and the Group of Five. You know, so could FBS, could the Power Five become even more stratified, or could the Power Five break off and it's truly stratification where there is a, you know, there is a hard barrier built in between the Power Five and Group of Five, where there's no more cross pollinization of schedules or anything.
Well, which, and honestly, I think for some of the schools remaining in the Big 12, that might be their best bet, perhaps. Of course, I don't know of the teams that we just talked about there. When you start to talk about the best teams from the strongest conferences, is there any room left for any of, like, I'll call it the Power Four? Once you take all the best 32 teams and programs from the Power Four, who amongst the Big 12 makes the cut for that?
Okay, so if we treat Kansas as a separate entity because we think they'd get picked up just because their basketball program is so through the roof good, blue blood, put them aside. So the other seven schools, how attractive are these schools? Oklahoma State, a lot of facilities, a record of some decent success in football. It's probably unto itself. You know, it's not coming with Oklahoma. It's coming unto itself.
Yeah.
You're probably talking about an attractiveness level, apologies to any Oklahoma State alums listening, of like a C+ to these. You know, West Virginia, okay, they've got some football history. You know, they've got some football history. It's a rabid state for, you know, football fandom and things like that. They've got other good programs. I would say of all these schools, Seth, non-Kansas, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Kansas State, TCU, Baylor. I would say West Virginia would be the most attractive of those seven.
Boy, I've gone so... I keep going back and forth on this whole scenario, Sean, because now I'm getting depressed and just talking about that and about creating like... So, basically, you know what? Excluding a lot of schools that do have proud football histories, they're not the brands, but if any of these teams, whether it's, you know, Texas Tech or TCU or Baylor, and like any of these teams do have their own respective proud football histories.
Yeah.
They don't have the name brand appeal of some of the other schools. And then it gets depressing because it falls into line where this feels more cold-blooded and capitalistic to me, more non-amateuristic than the actual name, image, likeness stuff.
Yes.
Because at least the name, image, and image, likeness stuff is just guys – getting money for an autograph for their work on
nobody's
their field
getting
or
hurt.
Their plan.
Nobody's
yeah,
getting
yeah.
hurt.
Yeah, yeah. You're not. That's exact. You're not detracting necessarily.
Right.
Maybe you are. Maybe you're creating more of haves and have-nots, but you're not directly kicking somebody to the curb.
Right.
We're now, with these conference realignments, we're talking about, yeah.
These are like layoffs.
Schools that have been, you know, Texas football institutions yeah. for over a century, kind of getting kicked to the curb. Yeah, and it's hard. You know, I mean, we've seen it before with the Southwest Conference and everything. It's just, it's hard every time you see it.
It's really complicated. It's, I mean, it is like, you're right. It's like mergers and acquisitions. And OU and Texas are merging with the SEC. And sorry, Baylor and TCU and Texas Tech and West Virginia, y'all just got laid off. Y'all got laid off, and you can go work down the street at the Mountain West Conference. You're right. That's what it's like, but it's so much more complicated because you got alums. I mean, some of these schools, their fundraising is based in no small part on the fact that they want to get tickets so they can watch Baylor play Texas and Oklahoma every year. Like, if I'm in charge of development at any of these eight schools that aren't OU and Texas, I'm terrified right now because so much of, you know, so much of the fundraising of that school is based on having a marquee football program. All right. 713-572-4610 if you
I started out downright jolly, Sean. Now I'm morose.
Yeah. It was
we got 1 hour left in the show before the weekend. Have a great weekend.
We've got 1 hour to get Seth back in a good mood. Let's see if we can do that. We head into
I find out that the SEC has apparently been gallivanting around behind A&M's back. As an Aggie, Sean,
I know you.
I feel betrayed.
You do. I can tell. That's what set you off.
And I'll tell you what, us Aggies, you don't want to get on our wrong side, Sean.
You're lunging at me right now.
Very low moral standards we have. We'll cut you. We'll cut you good.
All right, yeah. Aggies, will you cut us? All right, 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, Seth, you asked me earlier. Is there an odds board up right now on who the Rockets are going to take with the second overall pick? I found it. There is. Who is the betting favorite? We'll get you up to speed next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.